So before we get rolling, I just wanted to give a couple of you an opportunity if you went to the movie yesterday, because I know many, many of you did, and I know some of you didn't. But if you had one or two things to say to someone that hasn't seen it, to encourage them to do so, what would you say? So it's about relationship and other things about the movie that you would say, this is why you need to see that. And so I'm going to just encourage you, if you haven't seen it, go and spend the money. Go. And again, somebody was encouraging someone, they said, read the book first. I think if you read the book, you might be able to get on the story a little quicker and understand. For me, I still think it's worth it. But here's the other opportunity. I know many of you invited people, and some of you were lamenting that the people that you invited couldn't show up. Guess what? The movie's still in the theater. If God's putting that on your heart, I know as soon as that sucker comes out, I'm going to buy it, because I think that's a huge ministry tool going, hey, I got something that you need to watch and let's discuss. So just be praying. This is a 5-week sermon series. So go out, spend the money, take someone with you and watch that. So anybody have a bad week? Now, I know a lot of you, some of us lost power, some of us, a bad month, a bad year. I mean, we get that. Brother Dave, did you get your shower, or are you still having a bad day? You're kind of all there by yourself. Karen, can you tell us, is he having a bad day? But all joking aside, I mean, let's face it. We all of us know, or maybe you are, somebody that's struggling. It is a fact of life. There is no easy way around that, and yes, we live in a country where there's an amazing amount of good, but you know what? Let's face it, there's also some bad. But why does it happen? Why does pain exist? Why do bad things happen to good people? And those are some of those questions I think that I don't think they ever fully go away, even if we grow in our faith, even as Christians. Those are some of those questions that come back around, and we hear people talk about those, and we're not always comfortable with it. And frankly, I think for some, I think they can be a huge hurdle when it comes to either someone having a relationship with God, or even for those questions can rock your faith. You're going along and you're feeling good, and all of a sudden life happens and something happens, and it can shake our foundations or our faith. Well, for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at some of those tough questions that the movie brought up. And so again, if you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to go and do that. And I don't want to spoil, I can't stand it when people go on Facebook and talk about The Walking Dead because I'm a season behind. So I don't want to do a spoiler, Mark Bunch. So I don't want to spoil the story, but there was I'll just say this. The Shack is a modern day parable that tells a deeply personal story that explores how we deal with pain, how we find healing, and what it might be like to meet God face to face. And I think it is just an absolutely, you'll see that God has an amazing love for you in maybe a little different way than you're used to. And I also think it points to some incredibly important biblical principles. So just to get started, we're going to watch a clip. And it's early in the movie, and it's between the main character, whose name's Mac, and Papa, who is God the Father. I'm just going to put it out there. Yes, in this scene, God the Father is seen as an African-American woman. This is not some feminist New Age shoving down your throat against the theology of the Bible. The movie explains why, and I'm not going to tell you why if you haven't seen it, because it's a spoiler, but there's a reason behind it. So, Kurt, show that clip.
If you are who you say you are, where were you when I needed you?
Son, when all you see is your pain, you lose sight of me.
Mac asks the question, where were you when I needed you most? You ever been there? You ever been to the point where you've asked God, where are you in this mess? Where are you in this pain? Why am I suffering like this? And those are tough questions. And frankly, you can't just ignore them. And so what do we do with them? And what do we do with those hard questions that come in life? And I think, first off, I want to say that even though I think we can shed some light over the next few weeks on these kind of questions, I will tell you I don't think there is some be-all, end-all answer that will completely satisfy you, because again, we live in this broken world, and we can kind of grasp hold of things, but to be 100%. So that's kind of what we're looking at here, is to just bring some light to these kind of things. And the other thing I think we need to realize here is that God is not scared of any of your tough questions. None of them. He's not scared of your doubts. He's not scared of your fears. He understands our emotions. He understands our hurt. He understands our pain. He understands our suffering, our feeling. And there's no point trying to hide them. God understands you way better than you understand yourself. And the Bible shows us this truth. And for example, for me, and I think this is one of the strongest examples in the scripture of this, is King David. And we see him writing in the Psalms a lot of different things, and here's just a couple of them. Psalms 13, 1-2. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Psalm 22, 1-2. My God, God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. It is very apparent that when David writes these psalms, that he is not having a great time in life. He is struggling, and he dares ask God, where in the heck are you? Here I am struggling, I'm in pain, and it seems like you're hiding your face. How long is this going to take? And if you even recognize that, how many of you realize that when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting the Psalms. Jesus Christ was not afraid. There I am. That'll be interesting online. All right, that's fine. No, what was that? Don't, yeah. Luke, you're killing me. I'm getting the mode. I can't help it. But Jesus Christ is quoting the scripture, and he's struggling that. But here's the thing. So even as David is asking God those harsh questions, does God get mad with him? I mean, we don't see God getting mad. God doesn't go, you know what, I'm done with you. I'm going to smite you. I'm done with it. And so God can handle our own questions. In fact, we looked at this at the men's retreat, but in Acts 13:22, the Bible tells us David was a man after God's own heart. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And we see that throughout the scripture, that David has this nitty, gritty, real connection with God. And he's not afraid of dealing with God in his pain. He's not afraid with getting real with God in his suffering. And frankly, I think it's in there because it gives us a fantastic example of how we're supposed to deal with our pain and suffering. Because within that, we can meet, because God will meet us within that. Now, I think sometimes when we find ourselves in pain and suffering, the big question is why. I've heard it. You know, I'm in the middle of this thing, and the answer we want is, why is this happening? Now, in a broader context, I think these questions show up like, you know, if God is good, why does so much evil, pain, tragedy, suffering, whatever, exist? Or why do bad things happen to good people? And then when it really, you know, the hard time comes right to our own home, it becomes that personal question, why is this happening to me? Or why is this happening to my loved one? Why are we here again? And we want to understand, or believe we want to understand, the why. And it's an important question. And I believe the Bible gives us a framework for answering and understanding those questions. Now, the short, I will say, answer, I think, to this, that why evil and why suffering exists is because we as humans choose it. We don't like that answer, but it's absolutely true. Evil and suffering exists because we as humans choose it time and time again. Ever since Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, they broke humanity. And we as their offspring are broken and we are stained with sin. The perfect creator created a perfect world, but that creation has been broken. Does that mean he doesn't care anymore? Absolutely not. God cares about his creation. So why doesn't he stop it? Read the end. He is going to stop it. We absolutely believe that to be true. I mean, the Bible tells us at some point God is going to make all things new. But the question becomes, what about until then? And that's the catch. We are in the in-between. We know that God's going to fix it. We know God's going to come again. But until that time, we are in the midst of this, and pain and suffering are part of our reality. And so, again, as we find ourselves in pain and suffering, we focus on the why. And I think that's too narrow of a scope. I think we also have to look at the where. And the where is God in the midst of this? So here's my pain. I might be stuck. Why? But then we have to broaden that and say, okay, where is God in this? And this one's the easy one to answer. Guess what? He's right there. He is absolutely right in the middle. Hebrews 13:5. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Do you understand the power of this little phrase? God the Father is telling you he is always there for you, regardless of what pain you might be in, regardless of what suffering, no matter what consequences, no matter if you've choose to sin and rebel against him, God is always there. God is with us through the pain. Whatever you are facing, God is there. And he wanted... You know what? He wants you to understand this, and he wants you to know this so much. This was the last thing Jesus told us before he went back to heaven. We know the Great Commission lands in Matthew 28, but look at the last phrase. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus Christ is telling you, guess what? No matter what you go through, I am there, right there with you. And not only that, it's not just Jesus. John 14:16-17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. So not only is Jesus Christ saying, we have your back, but here we're sending you this unique being that is going to reside in you and be with you at all times. The evil and the suffering of this world is really, really incredibly real. We know this. And it breaks God's heart more than it breaks yours. No matter how you look at evil, no matter how much you are empathizing or sympathizing with the pain around you, God has that pain way more than you do. Because why? He's been there from the very beginning. He knows every person on this planet throughout the course of human history at a deeply personal level. And so you think you're alone in your pain. It pales in comparison to what God has and what God deals with. And until he decides to make all things new, he will continue to carry us through. He will continue to work out of his loving nature. That's the other thing. When we focus on that pain and suffering, the truth of Romans 8:28 seems to be hard to grasp. We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. No matter how dark it is, no matter how intense the pain is, no matter how much you're suffering, God is working for your good, regardless if your brain can wrap around that fact or not. Because again, we see things at such a narrow point, and God can see it over the course of all time. He can look at it over the course of your entire life. And he's operating out of his goodness and out of his amazing love for you. All the time, he is working for your good, no matter what. No, it doesn't necessarily mean he'll take away our pain. But he can redeem it. He can carry us through whatever pain we have, and he can bring us to a place of healing. The problem when we are in great pain is it's too easy to lose our sight of God. It's like we've all experienced an eclipse, right? We've all, you know, when you were a kid with the pinhole and all that stuff. But when we are in our pain seems to just eclipse everything that we know about God. Everything, and what we need to see in our pain is his face, but we allow that pain just to block out all of what God is. In the pain, we need to see God because God doesn't move. Those verses just told us. God is always there. I don't care what pain you're in, that pain will pass. God never will. We need to allow him to work with us in the pain. Again, no matter what pain you have, what pain might come, God can carry you through it to a place of healing. He is never hiding from us in times of pain. He is pursuing us. And the fact is, he will stop at nothing to draw us closer and demonstrate his love for us. I love that aspect of the movie, to what extent God went to reach Mac, who wanted nothing, nothing to do with. I mean, he hated God. He had so many issues, and yet God continued to pursue him. That is true. And that fact should be a huge encouragement for us, because God ignores your narrow concepts of him. God ignores your baggage. God understands that our greatest need is for him, and because of his goodness, because of his love, because of his compassion for us, God knows what you need, and he's willing to reach you there. Even before you realize you need it, even before you realize that you're going to cry out to him, God will meet us there. Here's the catch. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God is willing and able to do whatever it takes to reach and connect with you? Do you trust him to do so? Because here's the thing. I think for most people, I think it's relatively easy to believe that God is good and loves you in a broad sense, right? God is love. We can kind of sense when we see good things happening. But do you believe that God's love and goodness is personal for you? For you, not for everybody else sitting in here, for you. Throughout the movie, Papa uses the phrase, "I'm especially fond of different people." Mac, I think Neil Young, which I thought was interesting. But he says that, "I'm fond of you, I'm fond of you." Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that the creator of the entire universe is fond? It's a different vibe than love, isn't it? He's fond of you. He loves your quirks. He loves your personality. He loves you for who you are. Even in your brokenness, even in your junk, even in the stuff that other people just are irritated by, God loves you and is fond of you in the midst of all of that. Have you grasped that truth? To understand that God loves us that much is an incredible gift. And I would say probably the majority of humanity, I don't think, fully grasp to what extent. It's another reason. If nothing else, go to that movie and put yourself in the seat when they're sitting around the dinner table, just talking with the Trinity. I think it's an incredibly powerful vision for me of how much God loves. But the Bible makes it clear as well. Psalm 139, 1 through 6. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in from behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain." There are people this morning that are here because they need to hear this. You need to hear that God not only loves you, but he's incredibly fond of you. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of your junk, regardless of all that stuff that in here keeps you away from having the relationship with God that he wants you to have with him. That personal, loving relationship. And the Bible even goes farther than that. Romans 5:8. "God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for you." Before you even ever recognized your need for him, before you even realized anything about God, he was willing. You know what? Even for those people that will never accept Jesus Christ's gift, he still went to the cross for them because he loves them that much. That's how much God has your back. That's how fond he is of you. And when we look at that verse, we recognize that it's referencing the crucifixion, right? So what's your view of Christ's crucifixion? How do you think the interaction happened of God as the Trinity in Jesus' death on the cross? Have you ever thought about that? So think of the cross, and how did the Trinity show up? Because I think when we look at the cross, I think we can get lost in the horror of what the cross was and totally miss out on the powerful why. And the why is this: the heart of God. Yes, there was torture. Yes, there was pain. Yes, there was death. But the bigger picture was how, to what extent God was willing to go to save you. Now, and why I ask that question, how you viewed the crucifixion, it's the thing that if we're not careful, I think we can see the penalty and the judgment of an angry God. We can see God's wrath, that Old Testament God. And then inadvertently we see Jesus as the nice God, but God is mean because the only way to salvation was for God the Father to beat up his kid and make him suffer. And if we have any inkling of that feeling, then God becomes, you know what? He doesn't become loving. And the Trinity becomes some cosmic version of good cop, bad cop. I mean, is the Father simply an angry judge and a punisher? We cannot view the crucifixion. We cannot view God the Father in that way. That's not what the Bible preaches. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 19. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Now, I get it. The Trinity is one of those mind-bending truths of the scriptures, and actually I really liked how the movie portrayed it. That three individuals interacting, because I truly believe that the Trinity is a living community of love in unified presence. Why we struggle with the Trinity is we're broken human beings and we can't understand perfect community and perfect love. We can't wrap around our brains how three different entities can be one God. Someday we will. Someday we'll understand that. And for nothing else, again, that movie I think shows us in some ways that we can look at that in a little different ways. But so when Jesus hung on the cross, God was with him. God was participating in that painful work of sacrifice and redemption right along with Jesus in the Spirit. The hierarchy of God and different things. And yes, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a sin thing. God was not turning his back and walking away from his Son. Now, the movie with all three having the marks, you know what? That was movie, and that was artistic. But to say that God didn't suffer everything that Jesus Christ did on the cross, I don't think that's biblical. The Trinity, God, loved us enough to take on the cross so that you could have a relationship with him. And I think here's an illustration that maybe will help you a little better. Do you know how they make antivenom? Antivenom is if you got bit by a snake, a poisonous snake, they give it to you. Well, they find a host who processes in their blood an antibody that is more powerful than the poison, right? And so then they introduce the poison into that host, and then the antidote can be manufactured. And then, you know, if you get bit, that's how you get the cure. But the bottom line is the host has to take the poison. That's the only way it works. That's what happened on the cross. At the cross, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit came together, and they didn't just inflict and endure punishment to satisfy some judicial decree. They produced the cure for sin by taking sin into themselves. Just like taking poison will form an antibody, they took sin in. And why? So God could heal us. So here's the thing. God is not ever going to let you go. No matter what we face or what happens around us in this crazy world, no matter what kind of painful thing you're facing or will face, God is there throughout it all. And he's given us his word, and he's given us many promises that we need to, during those hard times, we need to cling to and trust. And here's just a couple of them. James 4:8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Isaiah 66:13. And again, this is a great verse with that idea of the comforting of love of God presenting himself as a woman. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Bible is filled with these kind of promises. When you are just being blinded by pain and suffering, these are the truths that you need to cling to. Because your loving Heavenly Father is always there. We need to get the message. We need to cling to this. And these are the things that will help us refocus our vision back to God. Here's one more good one that I couldn't turn down. Ephesians 3:17, 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all of the Lord's people to grasp how wide, how long, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God is very fond of you. And he wants to carry you through whatever you face. The question is, will you let him? In the movie, Mac ends up at the shack because he accepts Papa's invitation. Before he accepts it, he has no idea what he's going to find. He actually believes the worst. And yet he is compelled to go. What journey is God inviting you on today? What step is he calling you to take to meet him in whatever circumstances you may be facing? How will you answer him this morning? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for the truth of your scripture and the fact that even in our pain and suffering, you are in the midst of all of that. And Lord, I know that there are people sitting here this morning that needed to hear that you love them and you're fond of them and you are there for them. Help that truth penetrate their hearts, Lord. Help them be able to look past the pain and the darkness and to see that you are right there with them, Lord. We know that in this life we're going to have troubles and we're going to have pain, and it's the reality because we live in a broken world. But we praise you, Lord, because you are bigger than that, and you are stronger than anything we'll face, and you can carry us through, and you can bring us to a place of healing, of love and peace and joy, regardless of our outside circumstances. So, Lord, for those individuals that are just, they're in the tough spot right now, Lord, and they're struggling, speak to their hearts right now. Let them feel your love. Let them feel you wrap your arms around them. And just for the rest of us, help us to continue to live that truth and to accept that truth, that we would always just have our focus on you in all things. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.